Hey, thanks. Welcome. It's great to see all of you here on our campus. And we welcome everybody joining us online as well. I am excited to share our message today. But before we do that, I just want us to take some time as a church family to pray for the situation out in Los Angeles with the fires and the surrounding communities. Man, you've been watching the news just like me and seeing everything that's been going on. That's kind of a special part of the country to me personally. I've spent a lot of time out there with some of the churches there and pastors there and over the years, and God's really doing a great work and shining his light very brightly, and God's people are there just like they are everywhere, but obviously what they're walking through right now and what they're gonna have to continue to walk through in the coming weeks, months, years, I just thought it'd be good for us to kind of join with them in heart and spirit this morning just to set out a little bit of time to pray for them. So would you join me as we do that? So God, we do come before you right now, and we just wanna lift up our brothers and sisters out in Southern California, God, just with the situation that they're in. God, I pray that you would just continue to strengthen them. God, for those who have lost loved ones, God, we claim once again your word where you tell us you are near to the brokenhearted. And God, I pray that they would just experience that in a new way, in a fresh way. God, I pray specifically for your people and the churches that you've placed there. God, I pray that once again, a world that so desperately needs you would be reminded that churches are not buildings, they're not institutions, they're not organizations. Churches are your people. And God, I pray that your people will be present. And God, I pray your people will be a light. And God, I pray your people will be able to step into those needs. And then those of us who are part of your people and may not be there in physical proximity, yet we are joined together in heart and in spirit. God, I pray you would also guide us and how we can help in the coming days, weeks, months and years ahead. So God, we ask that you would do that for us. And then God, finally, I just ask that you'd put these fires out. God, we know that you can speak and that you can move weather patterns and you can move supernaturally, God. And we know you still do that. And we believe you are a God who can still move in supernatural ways. So God, would you do that? God, would you move in a way that maybe human thinking can't quite comprehend? And God, once again, people would see that you are a great God through how you intervene. So God, we thank you for your faithfulness and we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for taking some time with me to do that. Hey, grab your message notes. We do encourage you every week to take message notes and jot them down. If you prefer to do that digitally, you can take notes that way as well. But today's message is gonna be a little different. I'm gonna give you a whole lot of content. It's going to be a little longer than usual. Hold your applause. All right, I know that psyched you. Anytime a preacher is like, it's going to be longer, like, I'm so glad I came to church. It's going to be great. I'll still get you out of here by 2, so it'll be fine, all right? Don't worry about that. But make sure you have those notes. The title of our message today is Fasting and Being Renewed Through Fasting, as it was just mentioned what we're talking about, because we are entering into a 21-day fast tomorrow as a church. And maybe that's something that's new. You've never heard of it before. You've certainly never considered participating in a fast, or maybe it's something that you've heard or maybe even done before. But I just thought it'd be a good time for us to focus the entire message on it. So the message is going to be a little longer, but I hope by the time we're done, you'll see why that is. The goal to be helpful, obviously, and for us to put those things into practice. So I didn't put this in your notes, but let me just give you a couple of quick little things about fasting that I think are good to know. One, traditionally, fasting is where you abstain from food for spiritual purposes. And so obviously some people do that. They will abstain completely from food and just rely on water and juice. More frequently, people will abstain from a particular food group. Sometimes people will abstain from something that's not food related. It might be social media, it might be technology, but you're abstaining from that, but there's a goal, and the goal is spiritual purposes. Now, when I say that, let me see if I can right size that even more. When you fast, a couple of things happen. One, you get more of God. We're gonna talk about that today. How do I get more of God? Well, you're gonna see that's one of the things that happens in fasting, but two, and I think this one might be the most important, God gets more of you. There's something that happens supernaturally in us when we spend that time with God. So you abstain from something for spiritual purposes, and then what happens is there's an alignment then between our desire to be dependent on God and the reality that we have to be dependent on God. I think most people who walk with Jesus or who God is on their radar, they know they should be more dependent on God, But it's difficult to be dependent on God when we have so many things that we're blessed by. I mean, for most of us, we have running water, we have electricity, we have conveniences that a lot of people all over the world don't have. And so at the end of the day, it's really difficult to truly depend on God. Fasting is one of the things that helps to bridge that gap. And then finally, when we fast, one of the things we recognize is the more dependent we are on God, the more supernatural strength we receive from God. Those two things are correlated. Greater dependency means we receive greater supernatural strength. And so what I wanna do for the rest of our time is I wanna let a book kind of guide our time together. It's called Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough. We're gonna put a cover up here on the screen for you. It looks a little different than my cover because this is the original that was released, I believe in 1996. It was re-released not too long ago. This book is written by Dr. Elmer Towns. This is the number one selling book in the history of Christianity concerning fasting. That's a pretty good sell for a book, right? All right. So if anything I say today really sparks something about fasting, I would encourage you to pick this book up. And what Dr. Towns does in this book is he lays out the nine different times in God's word that we see fasting, the nine biblical fasts. And so that's where you get the points in your message notes today. We're going to go through all nine of these biblical fasts. I'm going to show you all nine times in scripture where they occur. And then what I'm going to do is challenge you at the end of the message that if you want to join us on this 21-day journey, that perhaps you could choose how to focus your fast. Which one of these particular fasts do you want to choose to do in your own walk with the Lord? And then obviously, if I say something today and you really want to do a deep dive into that particular fast, I would encourage you to pick up this book because I'm just kind of giving you the surface level stuff and the message. Dr. Towns obviously goes much deeper in the book. So these nine fasts come from scripture. You'll see once we get going in the message notes, I've put the scripture reference, but I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of time on the biblical account behind the fast because I really would keep you here till 2 o'clock if we did that. So what I'm gonna do with each one of them is focus more on the practical aspects of what I think God can do in your life if you choose to focus your fast that way. Now that we're all on the same page, let's get going, all right? So here's the first one I wanna give you if you're taking notes today that you can jot down. The disciples fast. Seeking God to break me free from the entangling sin in my life. This phrase, entangling sin, comes from the book of Hebrews, where it talks about a sin that so easily entangles us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 17, there are some sins that it's not enough just to pray and ask God to remove. That there's some sin in our life that we also have to incorporate fasting as well. What is an entangling sin? It's a sin that you can't escape. It's a sin that you keep returning to. It's a sin, and this is kind of graphic language. It's pretty gross, but it's in the Bible, so we can say it, that the Old Testament describes like a dog returning to its vomit. I told you, it's gross, all right? But it's in the Bible. So these are sins that you don't want to commit. These are sins that you want to get away from. Some sin is super appealing. This is actually the enemy's strategy in your life. The devil is never gonna show up and announce his arrival. The devil presents sin to you as something that's appealing, but it always costs you more, and it always takes you further, and it's always something that brings destruction in your life. But here's a little known fact about sin that we don't talk about enough. The Bible actually says that sin is fun for a season. Some of y'all know, right? Yeah, oh yeah, I lived that season, okay? But guess what happens after every spring? There's summer. What happens after summer? It's called fall, and then you end up in winter. Which, by the way, congratulations on surviving the snowstorm, right? So we're all here, okay? Great job. But every season, you can bank there's gonna be the next season. Sin's fun for a season until you have to reap the repercussions, the consequences of that sin. That's not what I'm talking about, where you did something you thought was fun, and you're like, man, I had to pay the consequences. I'm talking about something you can't escape. You've prayed about it. You've asked God to remove it. You've promised him you'll never do it again. And you keep going back to it. Might I suggest that sin has entangled your heart. It's entangled your mind. And fasting is the way that God wants to break you free from that sin. So if that's where you're at, nobody's here to judge you, beat you up, or throw stones at you. We're just here to help and encourage you. And most Christ followers don't even know that God has given them a way to break free from that entangling sin, and that way is through fasting. So if that's where you're at, this might be how you want to focus your next 21 days. Maybe the second biblical fast. Now, I'm not giving these to you in chronological order or order of priority. We're just kind of rolling through all nine of them. So the Ezra fast, seeking God to help me solve problems in my life. Are you facing problems, unique problems, consistent problems, specific problems in any area of your life? It could be in your finances. It could be in your career. It could be in a relationship. In fact, if you're in a relationship and you're facing challenges or problems in that relationship, I would apply this particular fast to that situation. Maybe you're married and your marriage is in a difficult spot. A lot of people walk through this time of the year in very difficult seasons of their marriage. January and February see more divorces filed than any other 2 month period of time in the entire year. Why is that? Because you stuck it out through the holidays and you can't stick it out anymore. Right? So that happens. People file for divorce and you're like, please don't joke about that. That's where I'm at. I hear you. This might be the fast that you want to enter on. Maybe you've got a problem in your life and the problem actually isn't the problem. Maybe the problem is how you're looking at it. And maybe what God wants to do over the next 21 days is give you a new perspective, help you see your problem from His perspective. A mentor of mine told me this years ago. He said, Adam, you don't need less problems. I said, excuse me? He said, you don't need less problems. You need more skills. If you had more skills, you'd have less problems. Life's way of giving you feedback on where you need to grow is to present you with problems. So every time you face a problem, it's an opportunity to read a new book. I got a new friend after that. I mean, I don't need guidance from you anymore, right? But he was right. So sometimes it's our attitude towards our problems that's actually the problem, not really the problem itself. So if you're facing problems, specific problems in your life, again, this might be the journey you want to go down over the next 21 days. Maybe the third biblical fast, the Samuel fast. Seeking God for revival, my renewed purpose of evangelism. Samuel calls God's people to a fast for this reason. Last week, we talked about solitude. We talked about this idea of getting alone with God. See, what you do when you fast is you take the time that you would have spent doing what you're fasting from. So let's just say you decided, I'm going to fast from one meal a day for 21 days. You would take that time that you typically would be eating a meal and you would spend that time in God's word and prayer. Maybe you take the time that you've been on social media or streaming a show, you're fasting from that, and you give that time to God through prayer, you give that time to God through His word. So that's tied to the solitude principle that we were talking about last week. And if you want to seek God for revival, what is that? God pouring out His spirit in fresh ways. Revival in your family. Revival in your workplace, revival in your cul-de-sac, revival in your school students, revival in your extended family, revival in our community. If you really want to seek God for that, let me tell you what He's going to do first. He's going to do a renewal in you before He does a revival around you. Anytime God wants to work around us or work through us, He's first got to work in us. So if you want to seek God to pour out His spirit in fresh and new ways, and I love to pray for this during fasting, but can I tell you what's happened? Every time I've entered into a fast, asking God to pour out His spirit of revival, God has pointed out something in me that I'm not giving to Him. God has said, before we talk about that with everybody else, let's talk about this area of your life that you're continuing to withhold from me. Now, I didn't realize I was withholding it until I entered into a fast. And so they tie together this idea of experiencing God's renewal. As God renews me, then I am a vessel He can begin to use to bring about revival. It's a great way to spend 21 days fasting. Let me give you the fourth one, all right? We're moving fast. The Elijah fast. We're going to slow down and spend a little bit more time on this one. Seeking God to help me break negative attitudes and bad emotional habits. This one's hard. Negative attitudes and bad emotional habits. Can I tell you why this one's difficult? And I know this is going to sound offensive. If you're new to our church, we're not trying to offend you or upset you, but we just kind of say some things that are real. We say it with grace and compassion. We try to grow together. But here's why this might be offensive. Negative attitudes and bad emotional habits are very much accepted in our culture as somebody just saying, well, that's just the way I am. Like, you can just say, I'm just being me and get away with about anything, right? Someone's like, well, that's just my Irish temper. It's like, you ain't lived in Ireland in 100 years. Like, what are you talking about, right? So we all have these reasons. Well, that's my personality. We can all excuse away these things. And at the end of the day, here's what it is. It's a negative attitude. End of the day, it's a bad emotional habit. Negative attitudes hold people back so much. They just hold people back so much. Do you know that the only thing you can control in every situation is your attitude? It's your attitude. I like to coach youth sports. I coach football and I coach basketball. And when I coach these young men, here's what I tell them. Every time you show up to practice, whether it's football practice or basketball practice, I need you to bring three things. Because these are three things I cannot bring to this situation. The first thing you've got to bring is maximum effort. Because I cannot supply that for you. You've got to bring maximum effort. The second thing you've got to bring is you've got to be coachable. What does that mean? That if one of us as a coach corrects you, you don't pout, you don't whine, you don't complain. You recognize we're trying to help you get better. And the third thing you've got to bring is a great attitude. And then I make them all give me a cheesy smile. They love doing that, right? Can I tell you what I've learned? We should probably say that in about every situation, right? Every church service, every office meeting, every family meeting, every date. Honey, before we start this date, there's three things I need you to bring to this meal, right? All right. I just think sometimes we've got to be reminded of these things. That's all we can supply. Bring a little bit of effort. Listen to other people when they try to help you and have a great attitude. Man, if you approach every day that way, most of your days are going to go well. You have control of that. You have control of that. Sometimes we have some bad emotional habits. We don't recognize it because it's a habit. It's just part of kind of our natural reaction and responses. What are our default reactions and responses? Maybe your default reaction or response to anything that happens to you is self-pity. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's frustration. Maybe it's jealousy. There's a really good chance that's a learned behavior. There's a really good chance that's a learned response. What do I mean by that? Someone modeled that for you. Someone modeled that for you. You might have grown up in a home where that's all you ever saw. And for you, it was normal until about the age of 20 when you recognized, wait a second, other people respond to situations differently. And you begin to realize maybe some things were implanted in me along the way. It's not your fault, but at some point in life, you have to recognize that's happened and go a different route. And sometimes we've just become victims of our circumstances, victims of who we are. But let me give you some good news. You can live next week differently than you lived last week. That's amazing. You ever stop and think about how incredible that is? That God created us with the capacity to change. Like you could have grown up with bad emotional responses. You could be 50 years old and go, today that ends. And for the next 50 years, I'm going to respond differently. That's remarkable. See, here's what's incredible about how God created us in his image. Did y'all know this? I don't know if y'all remember this. I don't know. We'll just have a little review from elementary school, okay? Do y'all know that there are certain birds that they fly south for the winter? Y'all remember this? All five of you. All right, so the rest of you... You missed that unit, okay? It was an earth science, and there are these birds, and they fly south for the winter. Now, if you decided one time, I think I'm going to have a conversation with the birds. I mean, they'd lock you up in a safe place, but just for a second, right? If you walked up to the birds, and you're like, listen, this year, I think you just should stay. Don't be flying south. It's much better to enjoy the snow. Let me tell you what those birds are going to do. They're going to fly south. Every single time. Do you know why? They're birds. That's how this works. You, good news, you're not a bird. You're actually not a bird. And what that means is whatever rhythm you are in, that you have been in for the entirety of your life, somebody else could say to you, hey, why not try a different way? And do you know what you actually have the option of doing? Trying a different way. Isn't that remarkable that God gave us that choice? God gave us that freedom. And so many times we don't even recognize it because we're just stuck in this pattern of behavior. And if that's where you're at, this would be a great thing to talk to God about for the next 21 days. Now, if you're not sure if you have a negative attitude or bad emotional habits, just ask the people closest to you. Okay, they will tell you, all right? Do it with grace, do it with kindness. But this one thing might literally change the future trajectory of your life. And it's something that I think all of us can identify with as a struggle. Let me give you the fifth one. Fifth fast. Maybe you want to walk down this road for the next 21 days. It's the widow's fast. Kind of an obscure story from 1 Kings chapter 17. This is where you seek God with a willingness to go without food to meet a humanitarian need in the life of another. This has been practiced by Christians for thousands of years. This is actually the root story behind how most hospitals have started. So there's a group of Christ followers that saw a great need. They came together in fasting and prayer. They raised the money. They started the hospital. And Christ followers have always been at the center of this. And many of you already do so many wonderful things in our community to help meet needs. And maybe over these next 21 days, you want to step that up to a greater level of service. You want to give meal time to partnering with one of our missional partners here. But for some of you, maybe God just kind of needs to jar you a little bit over the next 21 days because you don't even recognize that these types of needs exist. In fact, let me offend you for a second. You complain about really stupid stuff. You whine about things that don't matter. You let things ruin your day that have no eternal significance while living in a community where people are hungry. And maybe God needs to get a hold of your heart for a second and just rattle you a little bit. And the next 21 days might be a way that he specifically does that. If what I just described are some of your children, maybe you need to load them up in the minivan and take them somewhere over the next 21 days and put their butts to work. Did you say that? I did. Okay. We have to be jarred into these things because for most of us, that's not the existence that we live. When we served in New York City for 4 years, we used to do this once a year as a leadership team. We would have a Sunday. It was always in January or February. And there was a lot of people that would come through. So this was a pretty significant thing. We did 4 or 5 services depending on the time of the year. But one Sunday a year, at the end of the service, instead of doing a response song, we would just tell everybody, hey, before you leave, we need you to take off your coat and we need you to bring it down here and we need you to leave it in the front and you go back out into the city without a coat on because we're gonna give these coats to people who need them. You've got 3 or more at home. That was a powerful Sunday every time we did it. Now, we tried it one time with shoes. It didn't go as well, okay? It's a bit too much. It's like, that was a bit much, right? But the coats made the point, okay? It's that kind of thing where you just recognize, wait a second, there's real needs around me. I don't have to get on a plane to go somewhere else. I could actually be a part of the solution here. And fasting sometimes is a really good path to be jarred by that and to be jarred into some action. Let me give you the next biblical fast that we can consider, the Paul fast. Our sixth one, seeking God's wisdom, insight, and direction when I have a major decision to make. Do you have a major decision on the horizon with your career? Do you have a major decision on the horizon? Maybe you're a student and you're starting to really pray through where you're gonna go to college. Maybe you've been offered an opportunity to move. Maybe you're single and you're dating someone and you want to know, like, is this the person I'm supposed to marry? Like, there are some major decisions in life that happen. And when you've got a major decision in front of you, let me just challenge you and encourage you as much as I can. Don't ever make that decision without spending some time in prayer. And if you can spend some time in fasting, that's even better. I mean, I understand sometimes maybe you've got to make the decision 7 days from now and take the next 7 days and pray and fast about it. And then you can fast about something else for the remaining 14. But when you fast and go to God before you make a major decision, here's what you're showing God. God, I don't want to make a decision outside of your will. God, I don't want my agenda to cloud my judgment. Because here's the thing, church, we all have our own agendas, whether we recognize them or not. And sometimes when we come before God and we ask him to show us things from his perspective, he's faithful to do that. Sometimes when I've had a major decision to make and I spend time fasting and praying about it, God will bring to mind another person that he wants me to talk to. Do you know God will use his people to help guide us in making decisions? And I can't tell you how many times I've been fasting and praying about a major decision and somebody I haven't thought about in years, God's like, why don't you text them or why don't you call them or didn't he walk through a similar situation? And all of a sudden, I've got someone else to help guide me into this. God helps us use the brains that he gave us. So it's not like you just sit there and pray and fast and all of a sudden, like, you know, just it, sometimes he leads you to another person. Sometimes he actually maybe leads you to another book, maybe leads you to a seminar. God will do these things however he chooses to do them. Your part in this is saying, God, I've got a major decision to make. I'm not going to make it until I know I've spent time and I've sought you out. Now, let me tell you why that matters so much on the other side of the decision. On the other side of the decision. Because every decision you make in life, on the other side of it, you'll question whether or not you made the right decision. That's just called being human. And so when those days come, can you fall back into the confidence, the peace, and the security of, no, I sought the Lord on this. And he guided me to this decision. And even though it's a tough season or a tough day, I can stand in confidence that I'm right where God wants me to be. I made the decision that he wanted me to make because I sought him out through prayer and fasting. Let me give you the seventh fast we see in God's word, the Daniel fast. Seeking God when I'm sick and need healing, or as prevention to keep me from becoming sick by resetting some new healthy eating habits. We're gonna talk about this one for a minute. Because a lot of times people will say, I'm doing the Daniel fast. And what they mean is that's the mechanism that they're using for fasting. In the account, what happens is Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they only eat vegetables and drink water. So sometimes for 21 days, someone will say, I'm doing the Daniel fast. And what that means is they're only eating vegetables and drinking water. And that's the way they're going about fasting. But the focus of their fast could be any of these that we've mentioned. Maybe they do have a major decision to make, so they're focusing their prayers, they're focusing their time with the Lord around that, but the way they're executing the fast is through only eating vegetables or drinking water. But then there's also this mechanism that focuses you on the reason behind this fast, and it's an interesting account in Daniel chapter 1. So when Daniel and his friends, here's what happens. The king says, hey, everybody's got to eat this food and drink this. And Daniel and his friends go, we're not gonna do that. We're just gonna eat vegetables and drink water. And this has been mistaught in a lot of circles. Some people have said the reason why they did that was because the food was not in accordance with the Hebrew law. But there's nothing in the story that gives that indication. There's nothing in the story that says that they were obeying God's Levitical law with what they ate and not eating that. That's not why they were doing it. They were actually doing it because it was just a wiser choice. It was a wiser choice. They were not gonna eat these unhealthy things. They were just gonna choose to be healthy, not because they had to do it because the law said it. They're doing it because they're just exhibiting wisdom. And I think there's a really good principle there for a lot of us, because if we could be honest, this is something that I think a lot of people struggle with. How do you eat in a healthy way? That's something that I've had a difficult time with from time to time over the years, because I actually like to eat food that tastes good. Can I get an amen, right? And I'm like, everything that tastes good is bad for me, right? And it just gets annoying. Now, here's what I've learned over the years. That's actually not true. That's actually not true. Did you know your body reproduces new taste buds every 14 days? I've learned, because I stand before you as a proud person who now loves Brussels sprouts. I gave myself 14 days and God's hand moved, all right? Those taste buds change to the glory of God, all right? So I get it, eating can be difficult sometimes. But just for a second, real talk, while the rest of the world starves to death, Americans are eating themselves to death. And many of you are poisoning your body daily with just with what you're eating and what you're drinking, and you don't recognize it or realize it. And here's what I want you to see, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And you can actually ask for God's help when it comes to this. Like, it's okay to enter into a fast because you want to get healthier. It's okay to say, there's some things I need to stop eating, but in a moment of vulnerability and honesty, I'm kind of addicted to them and I don't know what to do about that. Might I challenge you to fast from that? I mean, for some of you, you might need to fast from sugar for 21 days. Your body will let you know what you're doing. It's almost like withdrawal from a drug. This is how bad it can be sometimes. I mean, for some of you, you drink too much. And I'm not trying to be legalistic and tell you that you need to cut out all alcohol, but you probably should fast from it for 21 days. And if you have a really difficult time with that, that might be God's way of saying it is time for you to cut that out permanently. But sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves about what's really going on. And for a lot of Christ followers, it's difficult to ask for God's help in this area because it's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. And I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to ask someone to help you work on a healthy eating plan or ask someone to help you work on a better exercise plan. But even if you're exercising, if you're still eating poorly, it's not going to help. And there is something about 21 days. Like if you do something for 3 weeks, all of a sudden it can reset some healthy eating habits. And so listen, if that's something you struggle with, I feel you. That's something I've had a difficult time with from time to time in my life, and I've had to get back on track. And sometimes it takes a greater level of dependency on God to help with that than even some other areas of our life that we usually associate more with God's help in our lives. So if that's where you're at, that's okay, but this might be an area that you really want to focus on over the next 21 days. Maybe the eighth fast that we see in God's word, it's the Esther fast. And this is where you're seeking God's protection from spiritual attack, God's protection. And obviously the story of Esther is phenomenal. If you don't know it, I would encourage you to read it this week. It's a really remarkable story in God's word, how Esther just steps up for such a time as this. And that's actually where we get that phrase. It comes from the verse in that passage in God's word. About 18, 19 months ago, I can't keep up with all the months. We were in a teaching series on prayer. And I did a message on the prayer of Jabez. It's a little book that you can pick up if you'd like to. And there's four things in the prayer of Jabez that I challenge you to pray for every single day. And every single day I pray these things for myself. I pray these things for my family. I pray for blessing. I pray for influence. I pray for God's presence. And I pray for protection every single day. So every single day I'm asking God for his protection. That's just a daily prayer. What this particular fast is an added protection. It's a special protection. Maybe you do have a child that's going to start college this fall, and you want to take the next 21 days and you want to pray for a spiritual protection for that child as he or she enters into a new season. Maybe you know in your own life, you're about to walk into something that's difficult. You're going to be under spiritual attack. Maybe you actually are going to be in harm's way. Maybe you're going to be going, and there's plenty of Christ followers who go to different parts of the world where Christianity is something that's frowned upon, and they ask God for spiritual protection. And so whatever the case may be, here's what I want you to know. You can always ask God for his protection. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Ask God for his protection. Because here's the truth. One of God's goals for your life is not to keep you safe. I know. One of God's goals for your life, like it's literally not on the agenda list for your life. God is not looking at the agenda for your life, and one of those things says, be safe. God's goal for your life isn't to make you safe. God's goal for your life is to make you dangerous. God wants to make you dangerous for his kingdom because your minutes on this earth are numbered. Your life's already been claimed by Jesus. Heaven's your true home. You're here on borrowed time. So as long as you're here, he wants to make you dangerous. Why? To continue to advance his kingdom. God's goal for your life is that your name shows up on a dry erase board in hell. That Satan and his demons get frustrated by you because every Monday at their meeting, your name keeps showing up on their dry erase board as someone to be reckoned with. This is what God wants for your life. And he doesn't reserve that for pastors and missionaries. He actually calls you to that if you're a Christ follower. He's given you his Holy Spirit. He's called you to be a light. So guess what that means? You might want to ask him for some protection along the way. You can walk into any situation and not fear man. You can go anywhere on this earth and know God's called you to it. You can walk in with a boldness. You can walk in with a confidence, not something that you've generated on your own, but something that comes from God, your heavenly Father. But in the meantime, ask him for protection. Live a fearless life before the Lord that you serve. And if that's not really how you wake up each day and how your feet hit the floor, maybe this is where you want to focus your prayers over the next 21 days. And for some of you who are parents, just for a second, and grandparents, you can do this as well. That's the heart posture that we're raising our children with. That's the heart posture that we're raising our children with. Because see, they're only about 10, 15 years away from running this whole thing. they're gonna be the adults leading us into the next century. And with each passing generation, it doesn't become easier to walk with Jesus, it becomes more difficult. So we gotta raise up a generation that walk with God and walk with God in confidence, advancing Jesus's kingdom. And let me give you the last fast that we're looking at today from God's word, the John the Baptist fast. Seeking God so that I can influence others for Jesus. Influence others for Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 30, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, he must increase and I must decrease. That's the heart of this prayer. That every day you go before God and you say, God, I don't know what today holds. I just want to be used by you. In whatever way possible, that you would use me to just point someone else to you. You may be in a job that you don't like right now. This would be a great thing to fast about for the next 21 days. And God will show you a purpose greater than that job you're in. And that purpose is that he wants to use you to influence others for Jesus. Hey, students, your parents aren't gonna like this, but can I tell you something that's true? The main purpose of school is not to get good grades. It's not. The main purpose of school is to be used by God to point other students to Jesus. It's a concentrated time in your life you'll never get back. There's not gonna be another season in your life where you're around the same people 8 hours every day and rotating in different settings with them and playing different sports or going to different clubs or playing different instruments. It's a very unique time, and God wants to use you to point other students to Jesus. Whatever career you're in, whatever housing situation you're in, wherever you're at right now, there is a purpose to it. Your life has a purpose. There's a great calling that's been placed on your life. And if you just look around this room for just a minute, if you could imagine the potential of influence that exists just from this room, that if just some of us would take seriously this opportunity that we've been given to be used by God to influence others for Jesus, what could happen in our communities? What could happen in our neighborhoods? What could happen in our schools? God could send a revival if we simply would just place ourselves at his feet and say, please use me to influence others for Jesus. Say, I don't know how to do that. I don't know a lot about the Bible. I'm kind of introverted. I'm afraid I'll say something that's wrong. Listen, that's the enemy speaking to you. If you'll go before God and you'll fast and you'll say, God, I'm available. I'm available. God will use you. And he'll use you in ways that you can't even begin to comprehend or imagine. And he'll use you just the way he created you. God's not gonna use you by turning you into someone else. He's gonna use you exactly the way he created you. So if that's where you're at, you have that deep desire to be used by God in the lives of others, this might be a great fast for you to consider. All right, so I've given you 9 biblical fasts. I want you to look back over your list, okay? Whether you wrote them down or whether you typed them out, and I want you to look, and maybe there's one. Now, if there's more than one, that's fine. Some of y'all overachievers, I get it. Are you might to do more than one. But there might be one that you're like, listen, that's where I really want to focus my prayer life and my fast over these next 21 days. Maybe it's the Ezra fast. Could be the Paul fast. Might be the Esther fast. You're looking at the disciples fast. But I want you to choose one. And I want you to focus your prayers. I want you to focus your time with the Lord around this. I want you to get clear on the mode, the mechanism. Are you gonna maybe fast from one meal a day? Are you gonna fast from a particular food group? Are you gonna fast in like the Daniel fast where you know, vegetables and water? I mean, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna do it? Are you gonna just fast from something like social media? We're starting officially tomorrow. Make sure you get on the devotional email list and you'll get that encouragement every single day. But I wanna wrap up our time today just by encouraging you a little bit that sometimes you stumble your way into a fast, you're not really sure what God has in store, and then he ends up doing some things that are pretty remarkable. But let me take you back, and I can't believe it's been this long. It was 24 years ago this month. So 24 years ago this month, I was serving at an amazing church as a middle school pastor, and we were seeing God do some pretty remarkable things in our middle school ministry, and man, it was fun. It was just an incredible season, and I was serving the Lord. But if I can, you know, just tell you what was going on inside of here, there was just an emptiness. There was just a longing. There was kind of that feeling where you just feel like you're stuck a little bit. And I wasn't really sure what to do with that. I was obviously talking to God about it daily, and I even went and met with, you know, a doctor. I was like, you know, am I experiencing depression? Like, I just didn't know what was going on, if I can just be honest. I was kind of just in a season where I couldn't quite figure it out. And I was sitting in a meeting that another pastor in our community was actually leading for our church. His name's Brian Beloy, still a friend and mentor to this day. And in the meeting, middle of January, 24 years ago, he says, kind of in passing, last year when I was doing my 40-day fast, one of the things that God showed me, and I just remember thinking, 40-day fast? Like, I thought only Paul and Jesus and Moses did like a 40-day fast. I'm like, people do a 40-day fast? And so I circled back around to him later and I was like, what does that mean? And he said, well, I fasted for 40 days and just drank water and juice, and God called me into it, and you don't need to do something like that unless God's calling you into it. And I thought, well, that's never heard of that before. And so I prayed about it for a week or so, and I just felt like the Lord was saying, this is where you're at and this is what you need. And so on February 1st, 2001, I entered into this journey of a 40-day fast. That's actually when a friend of mine gave me this book, was when I started that. And for the next 40 days, I journeyed with God, and I wasn't really sure where we were going. But can I tell you what God began to show me during that time? A little bit of everything I've shared with you today. Was there some entangling sin? Absolutely, that I needed to be freed from. Was I looking at my problems the right way? No. Was I making decisions in a wise way? No. Was I fully submitting my life to God where he could use me through renewal and use my life to influence others for him? No. And people have often asked me, like, why do you think God called you into a 40-day fast? And my honest answer is because I think he needed that long to do some work in me. It's not about the length of a fast. It's about the dependency you have during the fast. And for some of you, fasting for 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, God will do a greater work in you than when I fasted for 40 days. You don't ever need to get hung up on the number. That was a very specific thing that God gave me. And in fact, in hindsight, I probably should have gotten a little better guidance along the way. I was 21 years old and young and naive and just kind of stepped into it. But there's some real health things that come along when you fast that long. But can I tell you, the end of the day, what happened? And I remember people kept asking me at the end of that, what did you learn in this experience? And I didn't learn anything. But I got more God, and he got more of me. And my life's never been the same since. My life's never been the same since. He did a work in me, and there was a change that occurred in me, and it's never left me. And I gave my life to the Lord at a very early age. I've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but there was something significant that happened in my life from that time. And my prayer would be that for some of you, you could experience that. I can't quite put it into words. I can't give you the five principles of what you'll learn, but here's what I can tell you. You'll get more of God and God will get more of you. You'll also have something in your life that will serve as an anchor for God's faithfulness. I can remember during that fast, one of the things that I continually prayed for was my future wife. I didn't know Morgan in that season of my life, and I was just praying, God, I wanna have a wife one day. I wanna meet a godly girl that I can marry. And God kept bringing me back to, well, you've gotta be the godly man for her. So let's not worry about me finding you a godly woman. Let's worry about you being a godly man. And that God kept bringing me back to that over and over. One of the things I prayed for over and over was future children. I wanted to be a dad. I have a great relationship with my dad, and I couldn't wait to be a dad one day. And I talked to God a lot about that in that season. And we just had a lot of conversations about what that could look like. And God, you know, just does things sometimes in our lives where he'll connect a dot. And you'll just go, wow, God, you didn't have to do it that way. That was just kind. That was gracious. So I did this 40-day fast, and I ended this fast on March the 12th, 2001, praying for God, praying to God about these things, asking God to do these things. And then later that year, I met Morgan. We started dating. We got married in 2003. I've told her multiple times over the years, you would not have fallen in love with me if you had met me before I did that fast, because God did a work in me and he was preparing me to meet you. And God was faithful to that. And I ended this fast on March 12th, 2001. And the only way God could do, let me fast forward to March 12th, same date, 2017, I baptized my oldest son, Sam. And I didn't even make the connection till the next day. I was like, wait a second. I baptized Sam on the same date that I ended that fast all of those years ago. So church, when I stand up here and I say things like, let me encourage you for a second. God is just as fully present in your future as he is in your present. That's when God taught me that. That's when God taught me that. Because while I was stuck on March 12th, 2001, God was already in 2017 on the same date, watching me baptize my son who hadn't been born yet and encouraging my heart for what was to come. So what does that mean? Here's what that means. That's a supernatural connection with God, our Heavenly Father. That's walking in a way that people who don't know God don't get to walk. And let me tell you, church, that's what God wants for you. He wants you to walk with him, and he wants to walk with you in a way where for all of your life's journey, every step along the way, he can show you, I was there too. You were never alone. I was guiding you. I was walking with you. I was making your path straight. And if that's not the relationship you have with God, fasting is his gift to you. Because let me share with you, I want that for you. I want that for you. I don't want you to have to rely on gathering with God's people once a week to experience his presence. I want you to know his presence moment by moment. Because here's the thing, he's with you moment by moment. Fasting is one of the ways that your awareness of that presence will be increased. So can we just come together as a church family and just ask God to pour out his spirit in a fresh way and in a new way as we step into these next several weeks together. And so God, that is my prayer, that you'd pour out your spirit on your people. God, we know that any great move starts through the renewal of your people. And God, for many of us, it's just getting us back to what the book of Revelation describes as our first love. Just that loving relationship with you, just the awareness of walking with you, just finding our joy simply by being with you. And God, for many of us, we've become numb to that. Would you give us the strength to step into these next 21 days through fasting? God, for all of us, that's gonna look a little different depending on where you have us. And God, we're grateful that you're big enough, God, to handle each one of us individually as a loving Heavenly Father with wherever we are at in our journey. And so God, I thank you for your faithfulness. And God, my prayer is that on the other side of this fast, there's the testimony of a people who got more of you, and a testimony of your people who you received more of from them, and a closeness that lasts moving forward. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for how it guides us. Thank you for being with us during this time today, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.